Father, Lord, I know today I'm speaking about your heart more than anything else. And Lord God, I pray that we would understand your heart more than anything else. What you want, Lord, your desire, what you want your church to be. Lord, we want to be the church, or a church the world needs, the church Jesus wants. That's who we are. And Lord, as I preach this, Lord, let your anointing impact us all, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 12, 1-3, we are actually looking at the promise of Abraham, where God set in place his plan for redeeming the nations. He wants the nations back. If you want to look at the theology behind this, Genesis 11, he separated himself from the nations, his creation, the ones he loved. He divorced himself from them, Deuteronomy 32 says. And he set up a plan straight after that in Genesis chapter 12 to bring them back. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, who becomes Abraham later, go from your country to your people and your father's house Now the father said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. That word great can be strong. I will make you a strong nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3 is what today is all about. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I'll curse him. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's what the church's plan is. That's the agenda. So that all the families on this earth, all the nations, starting at our doorstep, every one of them could be blessed. That's the heart of the Father. We named this year, we declared this year. I like to do that every year, declare a prophetic, if you like, phrase or a prophetic name over the year. This year it's a church the world needs, the church Jesus wants. Happens to be the same thing. You know, Isaiah 60, 22. Now, it's a story about, you know, Israel had blown it again, you know, as they often did through the New Testament. But God hits them with this promise. Right at the end of verse 60 and verse 22, it says this, chapter 60. A little one shall become a thousand, a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will make it happen in a real fast time when it's ready. I will hasten it in its time. I believe that's a scripture which really God spoke to me, these two scriptures, about our church. The church, or a church the world needs, the church Jesus really wants. So we've been sharing over these last few weeks the vision, especially if you've joined us in the last year or two or three or since COVID. It's a time where we can share with you what we believe God's intention is for Strong Nation Church. Our name sort of gives it away. Our vision statement is this, simply this, strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation. It's a progression. And week one I spoke about the necessity for strong ones. It's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, allowing him to grow you, mold you, shape you in your life. Jesus talked about the narrow path and the wide path. The narrow path is the discipleship life. And he says it leads to life. But the wide path is the life which is not necessarily a discipled life. And he says it leads to destruction. He said, go on this path. The gate's narrow. Walk on this one. Heads up, everyone. He's giving you the biggest cheat. Walk on that one. And we've set in place our church pathways for people. If you want to walk stronger in Christ, become a strong one. You know what? When everyone's strong, everything's better. Every family's stronger when dad is strong, when mum is strong. Everyone's safer. In fact, second part of the vision is when you get strong ones, you get strong families. I believe in family. Family's something very special to us. I think about family all the time, not just my own, but the families of our church. And God's design for the nest in which people prosper is within a family. I believe a family can meet every social need if it's strong. I think the government really, really wants strong families. They don't realise this yet. Because if when there's strong families, their welfare bill goes right down because everyone's social need happens within a strong family. But not only biological families, the church family, a community where some people, unfortunately, can't really connect with their families or might not have one around. Well, the church is a family. We're not like a family, we are family, and I think that needs to be worked on for all churches. Where we operate in communities, that we talked about oikos, these small gatherings that we have, maybe anywhere from 15 to 70 people maybe, where if you're in hospital, they're the ones who visit you. They're the ones who know how you're feeling. They understand if you're going through a bad time, they want to walk it through with you. That's what oikos is, and we're developing that. We have leaders of that. We call them spiritual parents. We landed on that because that's really what their role is, to be like spiritual parents over people. And if you're in our church, if you want to feel really connected, oikos. It's a Greek word for household or family, extended, includes neighbors and everything. Then the third week, last week, I shared about strong church. When you get enough strong families, you've got yourself a strong church. And what I'll articulated that as is a church, like we're here in the Hawkesbury, and I believe when we came together and worshiped God today, we set the spiritual atmosphere for all of Windsor and all of the Hawkesbury. We're strong. Our presence means something. Needs are met here. During the floods, needs were met from here. When people need food, they know where to come. You know, saying once a pastor asked us all, us pastors, he said, if your church had to close down for some reason, would the community be worried about that? Or would they even know? I would like to think if for some reason this place had to close down, our church had to close down, I'd pray that we'd be so effective that the Hawkesbury would go into mourning and thinking, what do we do now? Because they were our spiritual guides. They were the spiritual head. They were the ones who met me when I needed it. They might not have come here, and that's okay. But they knew we were there and we were safe because the church was there. And we worship and we come together. Powerful. But today, it's the fourth leg of our little stool that we like to sit on. It's called Strong Nation. And this is the end game. This is our existence. This is why we come together. So what's a strong nation? I remember my son Judah, he would have been about 5 years old, I think. And he's usually a bit of a hyper sort of guy. And he used to run around everywhere and get into lots of mischief. I see his son Ezra now, who's 3, and it's almost a carbon copy. He ran me ragged yesterday. I took the 2 boys shopping yesterday, my goodness. Talk about living on the edge. But Judah was about 5, and I remember he was just listless, didn't want to move. He clammy, his white was face. We just couldn't know what was wrong, so I took him down to emergency and a P&A hospital. And at that time, meningococcal was running through Penrith. And I'm thinking the worst, you know, oh my goodness. We finally get him into to see the doctor, and I said, look, I'm worried. Is this meningococcal? He said, how long's he been like this? I said, oh, you know, 48 hours, I suppose. He said, oh, no, it's not meningococcal. If it was, he'd be dead already. That's not comforting, man. He said, I'll need to roll him over, and can you turn around and bend him towards yourself? And did one of the most horrible things. He took a lumbar punch out of his spinal cord. And due to the pain in that little boy, oh, my goodness. I said, why are you doing this? He said, we've got to find the cultures. There's something going on, and there's a culture within him that we need to address. I said, what if you don't? Oh, the culture will grow up and take over everything. Oh, wow, it'll affect his entire body. It made me think. You see, strong nation is about a culture. Strong nation is a culture which is not just meant to exist in a little containment. It's meant to go out and affect everything. It's a culture that goes into a place like Cambodia, and Cambodia gets affected positively because of it.
Yeah.
It goes into Werrington or Bly Park or, you know, up into all the suburbs around us, and it touches that place, and all of a sudden those places are affected positively. It goes out to places like Oberon, Lithgow, and Orange. And because it has influence there, that culture just remains there and begins to flourish. That's strong nation. You know, we have a culture and we work on our culture. Accepting people, love, acceptance, forgiveness. That's a culture that we have. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's a culture we have. We believe in making disciples and we believe in sending people. I'm not trying to hang on to anyone. We've prophesied several times. This is a church with no walls. And I'd like to think we are. If you're a guest, Mike, I want you to know something. My goal is not to fill this auditorium. If anything, it's closer to I want to empty this auditorium. Because every one of you have a call of God on your life. And if that requires going somewhere else, this pastor is saying, amen, go for it. Because the kingdom needs you. That's our culture. That's who we are. You know, a strong nation reaches into frontiers. You hear the word frontiers. Other people call it missions. I like to call it frontiers. Because a frontier, and I like what Jesse explained it on Friday night, a frontier is when the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light clashes with the kingdom of darkness. It's right on that edge. And I believe that's the church where the church should dwell. A church the world needs, they need us on that edge in the frontiers of where darkness is clashing with light. I don't want to be just a little place safe. We're not safe. The Christian life is not meant to be safe. The church is not meant to be safe. It's a bit like a ship. They're safest in the harbor, but that's not what they're built for. We're not built to be safe. We go out into these edges, mate, and we do what's required. Strong nation is aware of its role in the world. A strong nation understands the mandate of the King of Kings to expand his kingdom. And this church, we will never ever take that off our front page. I'm sorry. It is all about expanding his kingdom. One day he'll return. And then the expansion stops. And we don't ever, ever want to think about, well, we could have gone further with our expansion of the kingdom. He wants them all. He wants everyone back. And we see the mandate of the church is to make sure that frontiers keep getting wider and wider and wider from this spot. This is about a church that does not exist for herself, but looks out in such a way that through her all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis chapter 1, 13, sorry, 12. That's who she is. You know, I heard this saying once, and it's so true, anything that exists for itself will ultimately die. I think it's the same for a church. I think it's the same for Christian life, really. If I exist for myself, ultimately something inside of me dies. The whole culture of Christianity is to live for others. It's not, you know, it's not about how good a Christian I can be, although being strong ones is really cool. Not perfect, but strong. But we exist so that others can experience him. We exist so that the kingdom can benefit. Another one said once to me, someone wrapped up in themselves make a very small package. A church wrapped up in itself makes a very, very small package. And it's not strong. Our mission statement. We exist to take Jesus to all people, helping them to walk abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. That's why we exist. We take Jesus to people, wherever that might be. That could be your neighbor. That could be your football coach. That could be your school. That could be your workplace. That could be the person who puts the tomatoes on your hamburgers. We take Jesus everywhere. And not just to say, hey, I'm a Christian, la, la, la. It's to help them walk abundant, fruitful, and everlasting lives. Hey, if you get those three things in, you're pretty good. You're happy. And they will thank you. That's what this is about. On an individual basis, you've heard me say this before if you've been here for a while, and you're going to hear me say it many, many times. If you've known Jesus more than 3.2 seconds, you're a minister of the gospel. It is in you. You know the good news. You've experienced the good news. And you know what? That news is meant to go not just to you, it's meant to go through you. Every one of us, that's on an individual basis. It means it's every believer's responsibility to be on a mission. Sometimes it's those who have known Jesus only 3.2 seconds who are the most keen. But sometimes you get a bit older in your faith, older in the tooth, and that becomes less important because thorns grow up around us and we allow them to take over, and all of a sudden we're worried more about the carpet than we are about the lost people who stand on it. I want to make sure that we always, always keep what's important in front of us, that we have a mission, everyone. For some of you, that might mean you're heading out one day to a place where we pray for you and we'll see you on Zoom maybe. For some of you, you're called to the far kingdoms to go and shine light in very, very dark places, literally putting your life at risk in some places. That's the Christian life. It's not meant to be safe. For others of us, God's going to ask you to give up the career, give up the normal way of Western living and ask you to live a life here, very exceptional, different, pay a price. He's going to ask you to do that. I think for the majority of us, maybe it's going to be a case of, I need you to go into your workplace, learn your career, really come on down, hunker down, become great and become light and salt in that place. Work people need to hear about in your place, your neighbours. All of us are called to a mission. This is a strong nation. This is what we do. Like I said, emptying the chairs is not a bad thing, as long as it's done the right way, I suppose. Can be done wrong. I've done it wrong several times. We're all called to be salt and light. Salt changes flavour of things. You can't get it out once it's in. We have to distill it. Light shines in dark places and helps people walk their path. Light drives away the cockroaches out of people's lives. You ever seen a cockroach scuttle when you turn on the lights? My wife freaks out when that happens. Collectively, we also send people into the dark places. Some people are willing to put their hand up and say, we'll give our life for 10 years in a nation that's a long, long away, who in our lifetime killed their own people severely. A devastated generation growing up in a nation. I'll go and do that. I want to honour Ben and Theda. Theda's parents brought her out of the genocide that was happening in Cambodia. He was meant to be killed, the dad, because he's a smart man. He would have been, except they escaped and they made their way to Australia. But God said, hey, I love Cambodia and I love the generations that are coming through. Sent them back. Can you just stop for a minute and think about that? They went back. And as a result, now we have this incredible church over there full of amazing people reaching out and seeing a generation change in this nation because this family said, we'll obey God. But collectively, we're sending them and we ensure they can still eat while they're there. We ensure they can go while they're there. We've got Deb Neal with us. It's so good to have you, Deb. She's back from serving. How long were you in Cambodia? 10 years? Is that the round number now? I've been here 16. What does that mean? Phnom Penh realised something that young girls who having babies unplanned, left on their own, not much welfare happening there. They starve or hand their babies over. But she started up a daycare centre through a thing called Mother's Heart, beautiful organisation. And we see kids or young girls being able to have their children looked after while they can go and get a job to feed their family. And not only that, they help them when they find a partner, help them walk this incredible walk into marriage and setting up strong families because of it. This young lady went there and it costs money to do that. We send. That's what we do. We ensure that the gospel must go forward physically and spoken as well. That's what we do. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking, this is Luke's interpretation of the Great Commission. And Luke says this. He quotes Jesus, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Think about that. If you want to look on the podcast, Pastor Jesse spoke a great message about that power on Friday night. My goodness, it was huge. We always think, oh, it means I speak in tongues. That's easy. Just say, "Who stole the keys to my Honda?" And you got it. It's not about speaking in tongues, not this power, not only. Don't get me wrong, I love to speak in tongues. I think it is powerful. But the power is not that. The power is this incredible infilling for a purpose. What is it? "And you will be my witnesses." Wow. Oh, does that mean I've got to tell people about it? Yeah, that's part of it. The word witness is martia, where we get the word martyr from. "You will be given power so that you're able to lay down your life for me as a witness." Whoa, that's a whole new power, don't you think? Where will we do that? In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Strong Nation Church, we love to think about Jerusalem as our life, our being, where we exist, our now. We think of Judea, that was their region in which they lived, and we think about our greater region, our areas in which we can go into, the schools and the communities and places in suburbs that we can reach into, you know, within our lives. Samaria was the next region or other regions beyond their region. And I like to think that we can actually do that on a national basis. And then you've got to the ends of the earth. Well, there's no limit to that. So our vision for our frontiers is basically locally, we have a thing called Strong Nation Community Services. It employs people. And through that, we've got Phil and Kate doing incredible work with homeless people. Do you realize your church does this? We help homeless people find homes. Unfortunately, business is booming in this day and age. But we have two incredible people doing great things. We have Michaela working for us in the sense of helping families and families in crisis, in massive crisis. Sally's often helping people with finances and people who just need food. We were able to give them vouchers and food and because they just can't make it without it, you know. This is going on in this building all the time through the week. We have Sammy, our chaplain on staff for our community, who's looking for ways to reach into our community and be present so the love of Jesus can be felt by everyone, looking for opportunities, but she'll also be putting together very shortly our food care again. But we're not going to put it in the house next door. We're actually going to put it in the building here. We're going to do a pop-up food care, and it's going to be incredible. One of the reasons why, and I'll be very blatantly honest with you all, is because I don't want people who are in need of very affordable food to be going next door to get it. I want them front and center and feeling empowered when they walk in this place so that they can come and get the food they need and maybe a barista-made coffee at the cafe, Josh's Coffee Cafe. That's what we want to see. Sammy's going to be firing up and she's going to need people to help her do that. Want to come and help her? I'm not quite sure what day it's going to be, but Sammy's going to... See, Sammy, I'm hoping truckloads, you'll have to turn a few away. That's what I'm hoping. People will say, "Hey, I'd love to help with that." I want it to be a shining light out of this very strong church. But that's what community services does. Yeah? With community services, often in churches, what happens is it's like a department on the side of a church. And people just say, "Oh, yeah, I love it, I support it, I talk about it, that's fantastic." I want us to do more than that. Do you understand? You are the ears, the eyes, the hands and the feet of Jesus on this planet. And we don't know everyone who needs help. We don't know them, but maybe you do. And I want it to be at a place where if someone says, "Hey, I found my neighbor is in great need right now," we just load you up. Here you go, there's food, there's vouchers, we want to be able to do this. Go and just give it to them. You do it. Don't call Sammy and say, "Sammy, can you come and do this?" No, 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 no. We're the church. Yeah, that's right. We're the arms, the legs, the eyes, and the ears of Jesus. And he loves them, and he wants them fed. He wants them clothed. He wants them feeling better. He wants them, you know, if they're thirsty, Jesus wants them to get a drink. So I'm going to ask you, can you look around? You might get a phone call one day saying, Sammy says, I know you live in this area and there's a family there and they really need friends right now. You know what? What an opportunity to be Strong Nation Community Services. Oh, but I'm not in that department. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're part of Strong Nation Community Services. Locally, that's big for us. Also locally, we work in chaplaincy. We have Lindy. She's a chaplain in our community and she's works at the village with a church service over there, the retirement village over there in Vineyard. Yep, and does an incredible job. But not only that, she's part of the chaplaincy board around here at the moment. And when there's a disaster, we unleash Lindy. Her heart, her finger is on the pulse of what's happening. Goes and visits the hospital. Goes and talks to people. It's wonderful. As I said, we've got Sammy in the community as well. Focusing on those who really need a lot of help. But a big focus of mine and a heart of mine is what's happening in the schools. We're in four schools. We're in Windsor Park. Lodge is in Windsor Park. We're in Windsor South. Sarah is in Windsor South. This year, we're at Freeman's Reach Primary School, which is amazing. They came seeking us out. Strong church, right? And we're also in Windsor High School. I go into Windsor High School one day a week and Lodge goes in another day. Chaplaincy, I can't get it out of my heart. I can't for these schools. I'm telling you, the honour of being Christ's person and just going in there and being available. It's got to be the joy of my ministry everywhere. And what you hear and what you see, where the eyes and the ears, right? What you hear and what you see, sometimes I've got to tell you, I'm just sort of holding my chin up because otherwise I'd be... What young people have to go through right now, it's nothing like when I was at school. My goodness. But what we're doing from handing out breakfast, cheese toasties, right through to sitting through English, geography, woodwork, whatever they need, we sit through and we just want to help kids get through it, right? We're not there to preach the gospel with our words and tell them they need to repent. That's not our job. Our job is to love. Our job is to be available. We see things and we respond. We refer. When someone needs incredible help, we refer it to a profession who maybe a counselor or something like that. We actually, because of this church, we've set up food hampers in the school. And we've got a pantry in there full of food. And we just say to the kids, no questions asked. If you need food at home, come and get it. That's what we do. We can only do that because of funding. Now, we had school funding in a few of these schools and we paid for it ourselves, other schools. Well, that's been greatly reduced this year. We weren't able to actually get funding in some of the schools from the government. You know what? To be really honest with you, I actually would rather not have the school funding from government. I'd like to do it ourselves. But not only that, I want to increase it. We've got some chaplains in training, and maybe you're thinking, I'd love to do that. Well, you can get training. Get a Cert 4 in chaplaincy. It's quite easy to get. And come along and join the team. Yeah, it's a cost. Pay's not great. But if God's called, he's your provider anyway, right? And we'd love for people to be in that, in those schools, in the high school, sorry. A few years ago, we started a thing called Building Strong Men, a mentoring program for year 10 boys. We've got a few of the boys who have graduated right here, right now. Reese and Zach. And I think Flynn's here too. Around here somewhere. What it is just, and some of you men have helped us do this. We mentor these boys after school and we sit around in a circle and we tell stories. That's pretty well all we do. I cannot tell you how many lives have been changed. Incredibly. The first year we did it, we had this ragtag bunch of boys, and I'm pretty sure all of them except for two would have been expelled by the end of the year. They were pretty ragtag, mate. You know what? They come and tell us, what was your highlight of the week? Oh, the fight I had. Okay. Yeah, I just threw a guy out the window. Yep. Ground floor? Please, be ground floor. you know, out of the 12 boys, 8 of them graduated year 12. The other 4 got apprenticeships. They didn't get kicked out of school. Something changed. The deputy principal said to me, "Rick, I've never seen such a successful program in any school." So we started building strong women. And we've got some of the graduates from our first couple of years here. We want to run them again. But here's the thing, church. It costs money. We're running it on $2,000 a year. And I've got to tell you, that's not enough. We just run it on shoestring. We're eating chips instead of good food when we have food with them. And I want to be able to do more with them. We need more. I want to expand it. Eventually, we'll get to other schools. I'm telling you now. This is so successful. We're seeing young men and women coming to Christ now, not because we're preaching the gospel, no, because we're just being there and Jesus is doing incredible things in their lives. We've not once asked one of them to come to church. They just want to come. And they're finding incredible people to be around, and they're finding the Holy Spirit, and he's revealing the Father and the love of Jesus to them, and they're giving their lives to Jesus, which I'm not complaining about. We need more workers. We need more volunteers. Building strong men. If you're a man, we want to hear your stories. Come and tell your stories. You don't give advice. We don't give opinions. We just tell stories. And those stories break open things in young men's lives for good. Yeah. We need more women. Put the hand up and say, I'll pay the price of an afternoon. I think it's 2:30 or 2:20 we have to be here or wherever we're going. One afternoon a week for 20 weeks. That's all it is. And it's incredible. It'll change your life. In fact, the old saying is the mentors get more out of it than the mentees. It's true. That's what we do locally. I think it's fantastic. In the past, nationally, we planted a church in Springwood 10 years ago, which is pretty cool. We planted one in Penrith, we amalgamated one in Penrith, and sadly, we've had to close that down for a while. It's on vacation at the moment. But I believe we're going to be able to plant another one there. You know, from between here and the railway station at Penrith, the railway line, there'd be what? I think anywhere between 50 to 90,000 people living there now. Take Jordan Springs into account. Do you know there's no Pentecostal church there anywhere? None. It needs it. There's some really good non-Pentecostal churches there, and they're fantastic, but they need partners. And I think about all these people over there, Cranbrook High School. My goodness. It needs help. They're going to be put in high school in Jordan Springs. Wouldn't it be good if we had a church there ready to serve it? Yeah. We're going to plant one there. My heart is, God, whatever you need to do to plant that church there, Strong Nation's ready. Yeah. That's where we're getting to. Yeah. I want to also continue thinking about ways we can plant churches, because I think it's the best thing we can ever do for Jesus is plant another church. Yeah. I actually think it is, in a community that needs help. We'll plant churches, but also nationally, I think we want to help. We want to help more churches. We want to, the country churches, many of you might not realize, I oversee in the Australian Christian Churches a region that spans from Blacktown to Orange. And all of our ACC churches in there, I help those pastors, I serve them. And the country churches, most of them don't have a youth in them. Do you realize that's an expiry date? So we're working hard, and we work hard with Oberon, and we're going to work hard all the time with Oberon, because we've got to get young people into those churches. And there's so many. That church is right next to the high school, and they've just built a brand new youth hall given to them by the government, $500,000. I think the barrel is ready for fishing. They just need partners to come and help them. Orange has no youth in its church at all. We can help them. We're going to do this nationally. That's our national vision. That's what we do. But also, we don't stop there. I remember the first time my pastor sent me on a mission trip to Thailand. One of the biggest changes in my life was this. My heart left the border of Australia. I couldn't stop thinking about the nations. I went to Thailand, saw stuff I'd never even thought I'd see. Since then, I've been all over the world looking at people and churches and seeing what's needed out there. And it's broken my heart. As you heard, Cambodia, we have an incredible church over there. But I want to tell you this, that our church is really, really good and strong. And do you know what they're doing now? They're starting to plant other little communities within the town of Kebung Jam. And you know what they need? They need another building in another village there. And Utong's plan is to have four or five places where these churches are happening every week just in this city. But then they go out to villages as well, and villages are being impacted further abroad than that. And we're talking these villages, oh my goodness, it's tough in those villages. There is not much finance in those villages. The one I'm thinking of now, Dad died when all the children were young, and he was the farmer in the village. They need water. They need so many things, sanitation, little things like that. And we go out there, but the most important thing we could ever do for a village is plant a church there. Because once the church is planted, guess what? That canopy, that amazing blessing, the strong church in the community blesses the whole community. So Utom's doing a great job over there, and he's discipling these great leaders. And these great leaders are, they're young, they're early 20s, and they're strong and they're amazing. And if you're hooked onto their Facebook page, nearly every week, oh, look, another 18 have given their heart to God. Oh, look at these disciples happening here, and they're eating all this crazy food and everything, and it's just amazing. They look like they're about 10. They're not. They're in their late teens. Okay? They're in their late teens. Some are in their early 20s. Church, we've been running that on a shoestring. It's time to stop that. Utom needs a raise, and we're going to make sure he gets one. He's carrying a massive load. Young family man. Not only that, Setla is this young man who's just raising up. He's a great disciple. He's turning into a great leader. I would love to be able to give him a wage. I'd love to set him free in the sense of, mate, you don't ever, ever have to worry anymore. You just get on and do the work. We're talking, what, $300 a month, US? What's that? $450 Aussie a month? It's nothing really when you think about it. Another young lady called Lydia. We don't know her age. We thought she was 27, but since she's about 24. She's just finishing year 12 because she never had the chance to be educated. And through Strong Village, we were able to educate her, which is amazing. And now she's doing great, but she's actually, we're seeing kids run to Jesus all the time. And she's a strong leader, a good leader. She's only about this big. And wouldn't it be great to be able to say, hey, Lydia, we're able to fund you as soon as you leave school. You've got yourself a job. And we're going to put you through Bible college as well. Wouldn't that be awesome? I want to do it. But here's the thing. There's many of them. They're all coming through. The more we're able to release into ministry, the more villages we can impact and plant churches in. This is an opportunity for us, church, and we're going to engage in this opportunity. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants. A church, the world needs the church Jesus wants. And that's what strong nations do. That's why we're going to do it. We've got Minset and Jennifer sitting over here. They've started this little thing. It's been a dream for a few years now, Strong Village. And many of you are participants in that by sponsoring a village. And thank you. I think eight in seven villages, eight clients in seven villages. Is that about right we've got at the moment? And Jen informs me the other day, there's another six clients ready to go who we don't have funds for in another three villages. So three in our existing villages and three in another fresh villages. And what is it, $150 a month? Just to sponsor a village and that person gets educated. That person gets whatever needs. That village gets blessed. And then what we do, the people who are sponsoring it, some of them have said, you know what, we're sponsoring this, but we hear they need a toilet. So they fundraise and send that money across and they put a toilet in the village. Can you imagine a village with no toilet? Yeah. Or no water? Walking kilometres upon kilometres. So Minset said to me the other day, there's a village they found not far from the village we actually did put a well in. They don't have any water. They have to march it and get it shipped in. It costs them money and they don't have money. So they have to walk it. You know what? $1,500 to sink a well. Now here's the thing. Strong Village is not just asking the church to give because I think there's elements within the world who'd love to give to that, and we need to track them down. But we want to contribute too. Hey, you're not locking us out of contributing to this. We're in on this. And we're going to continue doing that. Why? Because it matters. That's what a strong church does. And we're going to continue doing that. And you know what? Around Kampung Charms, the start. You've got Siem Reap, you've got Phnom Penh, you've got villages all around those places. But that's just the start because there's Thailand. I was talking to someone this week about the eastern part of Thailand, which is a desert. Not physically, but spiritually, it's a desert. It's between Cambodia and the main part of Thailand. And he's just saying it's just got an increasing burden. I sat there and I thought, do you know what? Can you imagine that from our villages, strong one, strong family, strong church, strong nation, we begin to see people going from our Cambodian villages into the eastern part of Thailand, starting planting churches in villages there, in this spiritual desert. Wouldn't that be cool, Minset? Maybe. But it requires finance. It requires seeds to be sown into those things. And that's what we've been doing for years now. I think about, a strong village. You know what? I've been meant to announce this for ages. I've never announced it. You know, we took up an offering at Christmas and we needed about $6,000. We didn't get $6,000. We got $6,500. We now employ Hannah. Hannah's another one of these leaders raised up in the church, an incredible young girl, fluent in English, and she's now working as a social worker, a trained social worker in the villages. We have two, we're employed, which means Strong Village can now be registered in Cambodia as a PBI, I suppose is what their equivalent would be, a PBI, a public benefit, benevolent institution. Do you know what? Listen, especially young people, if we are serious about helping with climate change, we should be making poor people rich. Do you understand that? It's the poor nations that pollute more than anyone else because they have to get cheap energy, right? If we're really serious about climate change, you're not going to hear this in the media because the media like to lie. But the truth is the big polluters in the world are the poor nations. If we're serious about climate change and we think that it needs to change and be fixed, well, what we do is we go to Cambodia and we help them become wealthy. We go to all these nations and help them become wealthy. That's if you're thinking you want to sow into climate change and make it better, this is how you do it. Strong Village. Because you're not going to stop it any other way. Amen? Last week, I showed you our strategy for giving at church. It's a simple triangle of up, in, and out. Okay? It's a little triangle. It's like a milking stool. We like to keep these things balanced. If one leg's smaller, we've got an issue. But if it's all level, it's all good, everything's happening, everything sits nice and flat, right? We talked about tithing. In a strong church, people tithe. Now, my stance on tithing is this. Tithing is not generosity, it's obedience. It's saying to God, everything in my life is yours. I've surrendered everything, and that begins with my finances. Yeah. That first 10% belongs to you. And we pay that tithe. That's what Naomi and I have done ever since we were kids. And I believe there's a blessing in it. The prophet Malachi, you would have heard it several times, you've been in church, more than once probably. He says, test him in this. God wants to, he's your provider. My revelation is this. He's given me 90? Wow. 90%. Wow. But even if he didn't, it's okay. He still provides for me over and over again. Biblical maths is amazing. Biblical economy is amazing. I cannot afford to live in the house I live, but yet I do. Never ever had that wage. Ever. But yet I do. It's just the way he works it. And I think it's because we're tithers. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're not tithing, I dare you. Give it a crack. The first 10% of your increase. That's what I do anyway. That pays pastors and staff, pays the bills, maintains our buildings, has church expenses. That's how we pay for that, okay? But then we talked about seeding, and there's two forms of seeding. Seeding like sowing seeds into a field, right? We seed in. And what that is it's things for improving our facilities. It's ours. We give it in so that Strong Nation Church can do things better. Okay? Purchasing new buildings. Our Mountains congregation needs a new building. And I'm believing in Jesus' name by the end of this year, we will have a new building for them. And its name is Everton House.
Yes.
If you want to check it out, this Friday night, 7 p.m., be there, right next to the Ugg Boot Shop, and you'll see such an incredible... We need $3 million. And it's going to require a miracle. But seeding in goes towards things like that. Hiring more staff if we need them for temporary times. Developing new areas of ministry. I said last week how we want to relaunch our Strong Nation Academy. We have an arts academy where people dance and sing and learn all those things, but we're going to expand it, and I don't know when. Some things are happening where it might be faster than I ever anticipated, but we want to actually start health, an academy for health, because health is so vital for people's lives. It might be fitness. But not only that, we want to start up for, you know, things like tech, live streaming and sound and all IT stuff. But not only that, education, from Bible college to school. Maybe there's ways we can do that. We want to put a thing called Building Strong Families in there so that people can learn all about how what it takes to become a strong family, again, through the mentoring situation of just telling stories. We've got all this, and this sort of thing, seeding in, enables us to do that. Seeding in, you know, servicing the need of people within our church. A whole bunch of young people went to a thing called Forever Free. On Friday, some of them were sponsored by you. That's seeding in.
Yeah.
And every now and then, our family needs things. Seeding in helps with that. Yeah? But today, it's all about seeding out. This is the stuff that's not for us. We send it. We give it what we can and we give it out. Sowing in the frontiers, those places where kingdoms collide. So locally, we've got to get food care up and running again. It's going to require finance. We're going to make sure it's bigger and better, and I want it to be the most beautiful pop-up supermarket you've ever seen. It requires finance. Trust me, when we open up the foyer properly, I want it full of people. Come and loiter in our foyer. Now, that'd be a T-shirt, loiter in our foyer. Foitering. It's foitering. I like that. Oh, what are you doing? Just foitering. I want our community to walk into this building. I want those who come to food care to feel as though they are children of the King. Requires finance. We're going to do that. We're going to help more families. We're going to use this building well. Chaplaincy. Funding was cut, as I said, at the end of 2023 for one of our schools. Two of them, but actually God made a miracle and we got funding back for Windsor High, which is great. We're nearly out of there. But you've got to understand, with chaplaincy, we provide breakfast and that costs money. You know, I'm doing cheese toasties, and can I be really honest with you? We use a lot of white bread. And white bread, it's proven in many studies, triggers ADHD-type behaviour because of the preservatives. I'd rather be using grainy bread, even though they don't eat as much. But wouldn't it be good if that was the only option? I want to go healthier with it. I want to see it in more schools and more days. Right now we're doing breakfast 3 days a week. I'd love to see it 5 days a week in all schools. I'd like to get into the other schools, Windsor Public, Bly Park. I'd like to see every child have access to a chaplain within our area right here.
Yeah.
And it won't happen unless we can fund it. We're going to do this, okay? Nationally, I want to add to what we do. Many of you might know a guy called Les Freeman, Les and Sally. They run a ministry which is reaching the indigenous of our nation. And we used to fund them years ago. We actually purchased them a big spit, gas-fired spit. And do you know what he did with that spit? He used to take it everywhere, but one of the places he took it was to Riverston, just down the road here, put it in the front of someone's yard and started church. And all these indigenous people come around. And now, as a result, there's an incredible church in Riverston full of indigenous people led by a North American Indian, which I reckon is so cool. He gets them. He understands them. Right? Les is now in Kempsey, and he's done a similar thing up there. And he's got another up in the top end. He's started a church up there in Borroloola. And he's done a few others. He needs support. And I thought, we need to get on this. Because he can do what the government can't do. If we can reach into indigenous communities and plant churches, that's what Les does. He raises leaders and plants churches with them. He's a disciple maker, and he's a really good one at it. And he does. He's not Indigenous, but he does it with the Indigenous families. He knows what God's given him the grace to know what they need from him, and he's able to provide it. I want to be really blunt with you right now. He's underfunded. He had a really honest talk with me on the phone the other day. They're thinking about folding their ministry. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. There used to be a lady in our church from Mountains Church. She's a nurse, and she took up a calling to go out to a Northern Territory region as a nurse. They can't get them to go out there. She went out there, and you can just imagine the pay is astronomical. And the story she told us about what she sees every day with little children makes me angry. Little things that happen in these children, diseases they have that should never have. It's a common occurrence. And you know what the answer is? Not more money. The answer is not yes. The answer is a church. The answer is people who love and care and bring the presence of Jesus into those communities. And that will only happen if the church says, hello, let's do this. Yeah. And Les is prepared to make sure that happens. And we want to get behind him, and we're going to support him. And I said to him, mate, you just don't fold nothing right now, man. Great English, hey? I said, we're with you. And I'm going to call all the churches in our regions to help them too. Yeah. Because we can't let this go. These people are too precious. These communities are too precious, and God wants them back. He wants them in his family, and they are lost. And the only answer for those children is Jesus. And the government will never do that, ever. A place called Halls Creek was a write-off years ago up in the Northern Territory, and this white guy went in there, Max Wilshire, crazy man. Talk about a rouseabout sort of guy, man. He's a bushranger, that guy. He went up there and loves Jesus. He planted a church. It turned the whole Halls Creek around. Turned them around. And they don't know why. I know why. He got in there and made strong ones, strong families, strong church, strong nation. It's what we're going to do, church. And globally, this year, we're going to continue what we've been doing. But like I said, Utom needs a pay rise. I'm going to give him one. We need to get these young people set up because they're going to be having families soon, and I want them to make sure financially they're secure. We're going to put it on our watch. It's on our watch this is happening. And we're going to do it really, really well. You see, I want to see the nations reached, and it begins with our hearts. We're going to make sure that there's enough seed in the storehouse so that we can actually plant it in places. So I'm going to... Actually, I'm going to ask for an ushers if we can do this now, if we could, please. Hand out what we're calling a faith promise card. We haven't done this for a few years. And this is a card that helps us raise the finance that's required in order to do this. This is not our tithes, this is after our tithes, right? We call it seed because it's about sowing to see a harvest. That's what it is. And on this card, we actually have we got the other page there? The back page? We don't? Okay, when you get it, you'll see we've got on the back, it says there, we have a 3-month faith promise. Strong Nation Church, I'm going to ask you to sow seed with me for the next 3 months. Listen to me. We're going to use the month of March to collect these. That's why if you're going to sow seed, I need your name on it because I want to know it's real. Because I'll be setting a budget out with this. This determines whether Utom gets a raise. This determines what we do with Les Freeman, how much we can support him. This determines chaplaincy progress. But I won't do something that we're not budgeted for. So I need your name on there. I say every time I've done this, if I see Mickey Mouse on there offering $1 million, I'm probably not going to believe it. But not only that, I want to get that name and I want to pray for it and pray that God just opens up doors for you, incredible doors over your life. It's not as if we're going to ask you for it. You'll never be asked for it other than in a service. We just take up the offerings. But this is an opportunity for you to sow seed. Now, you see down there, you can see it in or you can see it out. It's up to you. You can do both. I will. I'll do both. And we're going to take this over the month of March. We're going to collate these and bring them in, collect them and bring them in, collate it. And we're going to have a figure in which we can actually set a budget from up until July. Then in June, we're going to take another one up for the next 12 months. Because we need to get to June, right? At our June, at the end of June, we'll be taking up our seed offering, which is not just this, it's more. And what I've noticed is personally, when I start sowing seed, he gives me more seed to sow. And in that offering in June, we offer also tax deductibility because I don't want to work our accounts department every week with tax deductibility. Da, da, da. However, if you're saying, look, I'd like to give, you know, $17 million now tax deductible, we'll work that out. So I just want to let you know what the year's got for us, right? Now, understand, this is for the strong nation effect, the culture in which we believe we've got, so that we can send it around the world.
Yeah.
I want to send everything I've talked about, but I want to listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 10, it's written on here. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, who does he supply seed to? The sower, okay? Does he supply the seed to those who don't sow? I wonder. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for life will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Wow, get theologically into that. That's huge. 11, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Have you ever been to a point where you said, boy, I'd love to give to that? Well, he said, I'll give you, sower, enough seed to be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. I want to read you the New Living Translation of it. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. But I want to read 12 to you. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem, this is in Greece, this church is in Greece, right? In Jerusalem, their needs, the believers will be met, seeding in. And they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And from Jerusalem, it goes kapow, seeding out. So what can we do? How do we sow seeds? Well, we take up one offering a month. Have you noticed we don't take up tithes offerings? Because I don't want to compel anyone. Even this, I don't really want to compel you. I'm going to ask you to ask God. What seed do you want, God? The question is this, what can you give? The second question is what can you give up? I'll tell you a story. I'm going over time, but I haven't done that much. When I was running a youth many years ago, there's a young boy called Will. He'd be probably in his 30s now. He came from a family where things weren't real pleasant, not real wealthy, but he had some big issues there as well. But he used to come to youth every Friday night. And he found Jesus in an incredible way. His mum used to give him $1.20 every week because we had a Coca-Cola vending machine there and he'd get a Coke every week. That was his blessing. He'd look forward to his Coke. You'd see Will walking around with his Coke. You know, he's got his $1.20. That's what it was back then. Now things have changed. We did a faith promise. He thought about it. And this young boy from a family which wasn't really blessed said, you know what, Mum gives me $1.20 a week. If I give $1 a week, every 6 weeks I can have a can of Coke. So he puts on there $1, put it in. The next week there's another card from Will, a 20-cent one. He said, why'd you do that? He says, well, maybe I don't need the Coke. Think about it. That's $60 a year that he was contributing and sowing seed in. Back then, we were doing cleft palate operations in Vietnam. Kids were born with the hair lip. No palate. They needed surgery. You know what the surgeries were? $50. Somewhere in the world, there's a young child who can now talk and eat and not catch diseases in their mouth because Will gave up his Coke. What can you give up? Just giving up a coffee is enough to probably fund a lot of stuff every week. What can you give up? And here's the third thing. What can you give? What can you give up? But here's the thing. Add a bit of faith. You don't want to do it without faith. It's what's called a faith promise. Add a bit of faith and say, hey, I'm believing God's going to be able to do a little bit more through me. And I will guarantee you'll be surprised at what happens. I could stand here all day telling you story after story of people who God told them a big figure and they said, okay, with faith, and they're wondering where that's going to come from, and then this unforeseen bonus comes, and it seems to be about the same amount exactly what their faith was. So they land that bonus right into the seed sowing. Happens over and over again. It's happened to Naomi and I all the time. It just happens. So I'm going to ask you, what can you give? This year, Naomi and I are going to need a lot more faith because we're not on as much money. And if you know, I'm down to 4 days a week. Naomi's not even employed now by the church. It's a stretch. But I'll tell you now, I see that as a time I need to sow more seed. Because he gives seed to the sower.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want more seed to do more things. Yeah. What can I give up? Well, we started doing that. I'm going to give up some stuff because there's things which are more important than me feeling great. Yeah? But we've got to add faith to it. Can I ask you to do that? And like I said, over March, we're going to be collecting these. And we're going to be collating it. At the end of March, we'll announce this is how much until June we've got. April, May, June, we're going to be taking up once a month the offering, but you can give online separately if you like, anytime you want. And we'll get to June and we'll celebrate that, but in June, we're going to be doing it again for a year. And it's probably going to be something we do all the time. Why? Because that's what Strong Nation does. It's not about us. We're not wrapped up in ourselves. Any church wrapped up in itself makes a very small package. Any church that exists for itself will ultimately fade away. We're not going to do that. We're not worried about the Strong Nation brand being out there. Trust me. I don't care what the brand is. I just want Jesus Church planted everywhere. And that's what we do. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 8, there's one more scripture I just want to read to you. In Jeremiah chapter 8, there's a... Lindy's going off to do her service. Good on you, Lind. Sorry, mate, I'm late. Israel has gone away from God. They're in turmoil. Jeremiah was written around about the time of when they were sacked by Babylon. And God's showing his frustration to them. Why haven't you turned to me? Why are you relying on other gods? Why are you relying on your own wealth? And then he says this, and it struck me, this verse in verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. You know what? I keep that in front of me all the time. It's harvest time, but one day the harvest is going to finish. It's time for us to sow the seed and make sure people get saved. Amen? What does the world need? Needs a strong nation. What does Jesus want? He wants a strong nation. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you. As the musos come, Lord, I want to thank you. And I want to pray, Lord God, for you. Lord, you are the master of the field and we're your sowers. I pray, Lord God, that as we sow, you will multiply every seed. And Lord, there will be a harvest in the field, but also a harvest in our lives. Lord, that everything we see is blessed of you. Lord God, we will know that you are producing a harvest in our life. But Lord, we're not going to keep it for ourselves. It's going to go through us, not to us, so that others may live, so that the world could be reached, and so that you can be thanked and given the glory. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.